When the heart can't pump enough blood to meet the body's needs, this is considered heart failure. And today we are talking about defining congestive heart failure and advanced heart failure treatment options with Dr. Bakar Lakhani, an advanced heart failure and transplant cardiologist. This is the Amida Healthcast. I'm your host, Caitlin White. Doctor, to start off our conversation, tell us what heart failure is and how it's diagnosed.
So heart failure is the inability of the heart to meet the demands of the body, which basically results in symptoms for any patient like shortness of breath, tiredness or fatigue, palpitations, or the inability to do just normal day activities. There's two types, diastolic, which is most commonly associated with hypertension, and systolic, which is most commonly associated with blocked arteries or coronary artery disease. In diastolic, you don't have a weakening of the heart. Your ejection fraction or your pump function is normal. And systolic, your pump function actually goes down. So normal is about 50 to 55%. And in systolic, yours would be lower. When we talk about heart failure, we're mainly talking about the left side of the heart. So that's important to remember. And the diagnosis is mainly through an echocardiogram, which a cardiologist will order. That is basically an ultrasound of the heart to look at the heart muscle and its intrinsic pump function and any kind of other problems that they may see while they're doing the ultrasound of the heart, such as valve disease or a wall of the heart that's not moving properly. That clues the cardiologist into what is wrong with the heart and what is the underlying cause. They may also order other tests like a stress test or labs. That is all just to figure out what the underlying cause is, because once we figure out that the heart is weak or stiff, as we refer to it, or as I refer to it in diastolic dysfunction, then we got to figure out why it is the way it is.
Now, is heart failure hereditary? And then are there any modifiable risk factors to help prevent the condition?
In some cases, heart failure is hereditary. There are known genes and genetic mutations that cause heart failure. And those seem to run in families. So don't ever be surprised if you're being asked about your grandparents, your parents, your children, because we look for three generations of information to figure out if it's truly kind of a quote-unquote hereditary or genetic cause. And they may run lab testing to figure that out. Both sides, of course. You got to remember both that you have a mom and a dad, so they ask about both. Besides being genetic or besides being hereditary, there are other conditions that can lead you or put you at increased risk for heart failure. So things like obesity or being overweight, having other medical history that you should control, like high blood pressure, sleep apnea, or diabetes, trying to stay away from excessive use of alcohol, not smoking, and then just basic things like diet and exercise. So those are definitely modifiable for any person and should be while you are diagnosed with those conditions, if you do have them. To make sure that you don't ever have to encounter the diagnosis of heart failure.
At what point does heart failure become advanced then?
Patients that have heart failure are of two kinds. Sometimes you get diagnosed with heart failure, and I will say heart failure is more heart dysfunction. Heart failure makes it sound really dreadful, but it's more dysfunction at the beginning. But when you have a patient that, for instance, has blocked arteries and has a weak heart, which is that percentage of less than 50% or 40% technically, they can live with that heart dysfunction as long as they take their medications for decades. But at some point, the underlying heart dysfunction can progress, and then that's when you are diagnosed with advanced heart failure. The other thing is that sometimes you develop heart dysfunction because of an acute cause, such as COVID. That has been a recent kind of discovery with this pandemic over the years. And so sometimes when you have that dysfunction, that may not recover, and you kind of progress really rapidly into advanced heart failure. And so advanced heart failure is defined by certain terms. So you have, because of your heart, you're just always fatigued, always symptomatic. Your kidney function or your liver function is not well because of your heart. You're just always retaining fluid, or you're not getting the blood to the heart. You keep on having hospitalizations for heart failure, mainly looking for more than about two or more in a year. And then sometimes it presents with low blood pressure or the inability for a person to take his heart failure medication as he or she usually would. That's when it becomes advanced.
Gotcha. Okay. So then tell us the difference between treatment options for heart failure and that advanced heart failure.
So heart failure is actually easy.
Okay.
Right? There are many different medications that can be taken, and although people don't like taking medications, what I tell my patients is, you let me worry about the medications and just take them, and I'll worry about everything else. And you worry about your life and living it to the fullest potential. From a stiff heart failure, diastolic heart failure standpoint, there are one or two medications. Spironolactone is one of them that has been around for a while. And then the newest ones are Farxiga and Jardiance. Those are newer medications that have been shown to help in diastolic heart failure. Systolic heart failure, we have a ton of therapies. And just to go over the main ones, we have four main medications that we talk about. It's metoprolol or some metoprolol succinate, which is something in that family, which are known as beta blockers, angiotensin receptor, neprilysin inhibitors, which is a big word for Entresto, which people may have seen the commercials on, spironolactone again, and then Farxiga again. So these are common medications that we do use in systolic heart failure that do five things. And knowing the importance of the medications is why I would want, as a physician, for a patient to take it and why a patient should take it. So these medications do four or five main things. One, they try to help the patient increase that ejection fraction, keep you from having symptoms,